So reading from Matthew 9:18 to 10 verse 1. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. After they had gone away, a demoniac who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "By the ruler of demons he casts out the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stephanie. Well, let's pray as we get into our week's teaching on prayer. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that's captured of your time and your earthly ministry. May that be a guide and inspiration to each of us this morning, we pray. Amen. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they, the two blind men, said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Do you believe that God answers prayer? That is what we're going to be looking at today. This idea that prayer is not only that we can speak directly to God, but that he hears us and can answer us in return. Now, sometimes if we're honest, we can be happy to think that this might be the sort of thing answered prayer happens for other people, but maybe it doesn't kind of apply to me in the same way. Maybe I'm not that kind of Christian, or I don't have enough faith for that sort of thing. And in our reading today, we're going to see four very different sets of people and four sets of answered prayers. And they all have something in common. They all have faith. Now, the Greek word that's translated here as faith is the word pistis. And literally translated, it means to trust or to have confidence in. And in all their different levels of certainty, all of these sets of people we're going to look at, they all trust that Jesus is capable of bringing healing. And that's a really important definition for us to kind of get early on in this talk, is that faith here doesn't mean trust in how good or how devout a follower of God they are, or trusting in their own beliefs and their own practices will make a difference. It's not self-help, it's not self-actualization, it's completely the opposite. Faith is about trusting that only Jesus can do it, not us. And that is the faith I would love us all to think about growing in, trusting that Jesus really can hear and really can answer our prayers. And as we're about to see, it doesn't matter how ironclad your faith is or how shaky that faith might be. It doesn't seem to make a difference to Jesus whatsoever. So first up, we have good old Jairus, named in other gospel accounts of this. He is the synagogue leader whose daughter has just died. He comes to Jesus and kneels before him saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So maybe we hear this account of Jairus and we go, well, perhaps he's somebody who is completely bold and completely confident in what he thinks Jesus can do. But equally, you could read his approach and go, well, here's a desperate parent who would do absolutely anything to see the circumstances change. Maybe Jesus is that kind of last shake of the dice to see if something can be different. And sometimes we might find ourselves in that place, mightn't we? We might ask Jesus for something in prayer because we've come to the end of ourselves. It's not pretty. We don't have it all together. And guess what? As we see in this passage, that's okay. Jesus still hears us. And as we read next, the little girl is brought back to life. He still answers those prayers. Up next is the unnamed lady who is unwell. Jesus sees her. He says, "And take heart, daughter." He says, "Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And here's that Greek word again, pistis, faith. Well, what did her trust look like? How did her trust that Jesus could do this manifest? Well, we read that in the preceding verses. Then suddenly, a woman who'd been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Again, this isn't a picture of somebody who has their faith all together, all sorted out in their head. In fact, in other accounts of this encounter, we read that she'd seen many doctors. She'd tried lots of conventional approaches before turning to Jesus. And her trust is just big enough to reach out for him in the crowd and barely touch his cloak. And yet, what do we see? That amount of faith that Jesus answers prayers is sufficient. We don't have to have it all perfectly worked out in our heads. That would be trusting in our faith. We just need to have enough of an inkling that Jesus might be able to do it and to ask him. And similarly, we don't have to be bold to approach him. Jairus walks right in, but this lady, it's all right. It shows us that if we feel small or inadequate at asking. And then we have our blind men. They're probably the most confident, actually, of the group. As Jesus, verse 27, went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Now, while we might not have many details about why their trust in Jesus's capacity to heal them was so strong that they felt they could just walk right up to him and boldly ask, it's only guesswork really for us. But I wonder, perhaps these were people who had grown in confidence in what God could do, and when they cried out to him, perhaps they were people who'd seen other incidences of God answering prayer. And when they recognised God Almighty in Jesus, they knew, something within them knew, that they could trust him. And I wonder if that's something we all aspire to, isn't it? Of getting to that point over a lifetime of knowing Jesus, where we know we can simply cry out to him in full trust that we will be heard and that he will reply. Now, the final person is a demon-possessed mute. Now, interestingly here, there's no pistis. We read nothing of their faith because the demon-possessed mute doesn't come under their own volition. They are brought not by their own choice, but by others, presumably friends or family. And that's a really good encouragement to me, that we are to pray for other people. We are to use our trust and share that in praying for others to make Jesus have Jesus make a difference in their lives, whether they believe in him or not. I would say, as someone who's been involved in Alpha over the last goodness knows how many years, I have lost count of the number of people who I've seen come to faith, for whom there was at least one, if not many people, who had been praying for them, usually that they had no awareness of. So in these four different people, in these four different groups of people, I hope there are some examples there that might encourage us all, that we can be a little bit bolder in asking Jesus for things in prayer. It's a reassurance, I hope, that we don't have to be a perfect Christian to do so. We just need to trust that he can and may answer. And it doesn't matter if that trust is very small. It doesn't matter if that comes from a place of not knowing what else to try, or even if that request is not for us, but for someone else. Now, I believe that Jesus always answers prayers. How he answers them is a complete other topic entirely, and we could have a whole different sermon series on that. But if you want a broad brushstroke answer, I think prayers largely receive answers in one of three ways. A yes, a no, or wait. Now, when the answer to our prayers are no and wait, that can be A, extremely hard to hear, and B, extremely difficult to live with. And next week, Susie is going to be speaking, and that's going to be her topic, is looking at how do we deal with unanswered prayer? How do we understand that? How do we process that in our lives? So for the no and waits, come back same time, same place next week. This week, I want to focus on the times where that answer is yes. So in our text, we see that played out in very dramatic fashion. We see the sick healed, we see eyes opened, we see demons cast out, and a resurrection. Do these things happen today? Yes, I believe they do. But I also believe that what we're reading here in Scripture is at one end of a very broad spectrum of answers to prayer. I look at my own life, and the majority of prayers that I've seen answered have been on a much more everyday part of that scale. And that, I think, is because Jesus is just as interested in getting me through a tricky conversation, or giving me the headspace to complete a piece of work, or the patience not to get too frustrated when the kids still haven't put their shoes on at the fourth time of asking before going to school. And those answers, again, in the Scripture, we see them come instantly. But again, in my experience, sometimes the answers to prayer take place over time, over a period of weeks, months, or even years. And we will all experience different degrees of trauma and hurt and loss and pain along the life's way. That's part of the human experience. And again, I think this is a big area in which we see prayers answered, because I think healing often for us looks like the healing of those sort of wounds, just as much as it could look something very physical. And again, I think often it's not done with a click of Jesus's fingers and boom, the pain is gone. But I think often what we see is that those prayers are answered over a kind of Jesus walking with us, gradually bringing transformation lovingly over a period of time. One final thing I'd like to touch on this subject of answered prayer, and that is the idea of praying for others. That Jesus calls us to be like him and to call out to his Father in heaven on behalf of others. So verse 36, we see, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest field. And Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out to cure every disease and every sickness. As followers of Jesus, we too can be sent out to pray for others and to pray for our broken, hurting world. We can do that in our own prayer times, in our times of personal prayer. One of the things I found helpful over the years, I periodically will have a notebook, and at the start of the week, I just write 1 through 10 in a list, and I'll write the 10 people, places, things I'm going to pray for each day that week. And then you can look back over it and review the next week. What's been answered, what still needs prayer. And I often still do that as a way of praying for others in my personal prayer time. But also, we need to think about praying in similar ways that Jesus did. We are looking to regrow our prayer ministry team here at St. Mary's so that when we have church services in person, that we'll have, once again, a trained team of people who can pray for you and ask Jesus to make that difference. So does God answer prayers today? Well, yes, I believe and I trust that Jesus can and that he does. Over the past nearly 20 years, I've learned that I can have increased confidence in Jesus to answer my prayers and that he'll do that through a variety of ways and mediums. I've also learned that it doesn't matter where any one of us is in our relationship with him. Jesus still hears whether our faith in him is almost non-existent, whether it is small and embryonic, or whether it's something that has grown over a lifetime. On the subject of answered prayer, the key to remember is it's not about us, but instead it is all about him and what he can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can talk to you in prayer. We can know you as Father and friend. And we thank you, Lord, that's not just a one-sided conversation, but it's something that works as a partnership. That when we pray, you promise to hear us and answer those prayers. Lord, we thank you as we look back over the many years of perhaps answered prayers we've seen in our lives. And Lord, we hold on to those prayers where the answers have been no or wait, where our understanding is not yet clear of why you've answered the way you have. We pray, Lord, be with us in sometimes the discomfort, the pain and the waiting. And Lord, I pray, help us to all continue to grow in that pistis, that grow in our faith, in our capacity of trusting in your ability to make things happen, in your capacity to make a difference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.